hear me?
Oh, my earpiece.
Dad, do you have my Bible back there?
Is that better? Oh, that's much better. That's much better. That's much better. That's much better. And that's what I was looking for in my Bible. I can't do this. I feel very disheveled. Don't mind me. Maybe we should pray. Let's just pray. I think I need prayer right about now. Yeah? Do I need prayer first? Let me get this thing up here, and then we'll pray, and then we'll really start. Okay? There you go. There you go. Let's pray. God, we're thankful that you love us so. We're thankful that you foreknew us, predestined us to be yours, and we come as those who are eagerly desirous to understand more deeply what that means. We come and we ask that you, O God, would pour out your Spirit upon us, that we might see you for who you are and experience you anew and afresh this morning. We thank you and pray this in Christ. Amen. We start a new series today in 1 Peter. I'm calling it Trekking Hopefully Home, and it's a little pun there, Trekking Hopefully Home. And it reminds me of this trek that we were on. Our Bible study every year goes to New Hampshire. It's become a tradition for us, and what we do is that we trek up the mountain, and a couple of years ago, we went up there and went up to the top of the mountain together. It was all fun. And then a year before that, we did even more. We went up to Lonesome Lake. If you go up to Lonesome Lake, it's basically you trek up 2.5 hours to the lake, and then from the lake you can trek another 2 hours to the top of Mount Cannon. Okay? You get that picture? And so here we're at the lake, we're stopping for lunch, and I'm old, so that's as high as I go. Okay? But, you know, 1 year we went up there, and what happens is that just as we were at the base of the mountain, it started to rain. And we're like, well, do we want to do this? It's 4 hour thing here, right? And so, oh, we're here anyway, let's go. So it was just drizzling, so we started to go. You know, some of us are very experienced hikers, like Deanna and Sherman, they do it all the time. And so they have these waterproof jackets on, caps on, they have boots and the gear, and everything's fine. And Ed and I are in sneakers and jeans and water repellent jackets. That don't mean anything in the rain. But anyway, we start going up there. It starts getting kind of soggy, but we know that the lake is above us. It's going to be great when we get there. We finally do get up there after this trek, and it starts to clear up. Like, woo! All right, we're really excited. The kids have a great time splashing around. Then about an hour later, we start trekking down. As we trek down, it starts to downpour. Like, downpour, and it's slippery and it's treacherous, and we just keep going foot after foot, just knowing that, you know, the hope is that we will get back to our cars safely so we can drive back to the lodge for a hot shower, warm food, new clothes, you know, get out of these soggy, you know, clothes and stuff like that, enjoy some fellowship that we always enjoy. So that's sort of like the picture of our trekking, our journey back home to the lodge. Sometimes life is a little bit like that. Oftentimes we feel like we're on this long journey and it's like it's raining, it's pouring, and it's treacherous, and you don't know what to do, and you go, where is God in all this? Where is God and why am I here? And this morning we're going to talk a little bit about that and how in the book of Peter, 1 Peter, he gives a sense of who we are to God and what he's doing. You know, who we are and what is he doing. So let's pray and continue. Father, we come and we ask that you would do a new thing in our hearts. Remind us that no matter how hard life is, that there's trials and difficulties, that you are with us, that you have predestined us to be yours, and even the things that we're going through, you already have gone through them for us. So we ask that you would minister by your power, by your grace in Jesus. Amen. So we're going to take a quick look at Actually, we're going to go through a trekking journey, because Pastor Enoch and I, well, actually really Pastor Enoch, wants to do this really slowly. Because if you read earlier, the verses are packed with theology. So usually I do almost like a chapter at a time. Like, you know, do this whole book in like 4 weeks. We're going to do this whole book in like 8-10 weeks. We haven't even figured out the end yet. Okay, so we're going to do 2 verses at a time. 2 to 4 verses at a time. Okay, so there's lots of theology. So we read 5 verses. I'm only going to talk about 2. The other 3 are just so it doesn't feel too short. No, there's some theology I'm going to pull from those verses up. Okay? So let's take a look. Who are we? Who are we? And here, we'll come back to John Bunyan and Pilgrim's Progress in a little bit. But here, in this verse, we'll look at just verses 1 and 2. And of course, who are we? Chosen trekkers. Chosen trekkers. And how do we know that? Because the Apostle Peter is going to tell us that. Okay? That we're chosen. That we're chosen. Peter. Who is Peter? The Apostle. One of the 12. One of the original called by Jesus in the Gospels. Right? He becomes one of the three most intimate members of that clan, of that group. And we recognize that he was the one who had enough faith to walk on water, at least for a few moments. Right? As he's walked looking at Jesus, he's the one who was able to go on the Mount of Transfiguration and watch Jesus be transformed to be the glory that he actually has as the Son of God. He was the one who declared that he had the secret to the kingdom, the keys to the kingdom. He is the one who said, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." Right? So Peter is there and he's walking with Jesus for 3 years, and he comes and also sees the injustice against Jesus, his arrest, his trial, his beating, his crucifixion, but ultimately also the resurrection and the ascension. So Jesus, Peter sees all of this, and he now 30 years hence that time, now in about 60, 62, 63, 64, not that clear, he is in Rome, Babylon, it says, in Rome, and he's now ministering and pictures sends this to the people in Turkey. You guys know where Turkey is? Well, there it is. Turkey. Turkey. Right? This is Turkey. Right? The big blob is Turkey. And what we'll see is that you need to remember that here is Italy. So Rome is here. I think of it as Rome is where? It's at the kneecap of the boot. Okay? So Rome is the kneecap of the boot. And so if you go from Rome, you can probably go across here, hop a ship, go over here. And where do you land? You land over here. So you can do this loop in Turkey, and that's where these names come from. Okay, Josh actually is right here, my number three son in Thessalonica, which today they call Thessaloniki. Anyway, so to the people, to the believers in this area in modern day Turkey, and so we start with, if you get off the boat here in Pontus, and you wrap around to Cappadocia, through Galatia, where the Apostle Paul ministered, through Asia, and back over here, get on the boat again, go back over to Rome. So basically, the Apostle Peter was sending this encyclical, this letter to the people in this area. Some people believe that he was sending them primarily to Jewish converts of the Christian faith. Some, people believe actually that he was sending it to people who were sort of on his ministry track, mostly converted Jewish folk into the Christian faith, who were living in the northern reaches, not exactly the same people as the Apostle Paul was ministering to. So there was a little bit of distinction, but we're not that clear. That's a speculation. It's kind of interesting. Anyway, who is it that, what does it say it's being sent to, and what are the descriptions? To the select exiles in the dispersion. Right? The select exiles in the dispersion. And how do we understand select? Select there, or the elect exiles, is the understanding that, God chooses us. God chooses us, sort of like the elections, but more than that. More than the elections. You ever feel like you're in a dating situation, or a sports situation, or social work, or play, and people select you? You feel special. You know that you've been selected out of all these others. You have been elected to be this special person. And so this is the idea the Apostle Peter wants to remind us, because everything else in this passage, in many ways, modifies and tells us about that election process and who we are as the elect. But first, we also know that we are the exiles. Here, the words exile and dispersion really remind us that this is Peter had a very strong Hebrew and Jewish background, right? He was a Jew himself and things like that. And so when you say exile to the Jews, what do they think of? They think of the exile that the people of God, Israel, experienced at the hands of the Syrians and especially the Babylonians, right, in 722 and 600 B.C. And so we know that he has that in the background. So there's an analogy here, analogous, and especially with the reference to Rome as Babylon, the analogy that the people of God in the New Testament are also sort of the true Israel, The true Israel that is now the people of faith that through the Old Testament and Hebrew Scriptures are pointing forward to Christ, the new Messiah, the Messiah that was promised, and creating a new people who are the true or the new Israel. And so here, the Apostle Peter is making this claim that that's who these books were. But we understand what exiles are, don't we? Many of us are immigrants or children of immigrants, many of us. Okay, and what we recognize is that resident aliens is the one translation. Strangers, foreigners, another translation. And so here, they are strangers and resident aliens in the land. They don't belong there. They're not citizens of that land. They don't have the privileges, rights, and responsibilities of citizens. And they're looked upon like foreigners. Many of us experience that and know that. When I grew up in Toronto, well, one, I was a foreigner because I was in Toronto, and I was Chinese living in a non-Chinese area, so I understand that, kind of sensation where you feel alien, feel like a foreigner, right, in the land. The language, the culture, the customs, the values oftentimes are different when we are foreigners, resident aliens in the land. The Apostle Peter was saying, look, you guys, some of you perhaps were actually Jewish converts who were in Rome during the Roman persecutions, and that's why they fled. And so some of them perhaps kind of felt that they were actually physically exiled because they could not return to Rome again. Or others perhaps feeling like in the Acts, chapter 7, 8, and 9 at time, where, Christians who were exiled, from Jerusalem. Well, it's not clear, but it's that feeling of not being home anymore in the dispersion, right? The diaspora, the idea here is the scattering. We even use that in much of our, for those of us who are in the Chinese church, right? And, when we say Chinese and diaspora, we all understand what that means, right? It means all these Chinese people who don't live in mainland China or in the countries over there or Taiwan, maybe. Right? Do they use that term, the diaspora? And so the diaspora. So the Peter is preaching and sending this letter the people in diaspora and reminding them that even though they feel like foreigners and aliens, even though they're scattered and not together in their homeland, even though they have no rights and privileges in the land in which they live, they are yet still selected by God, special to Him. That we are special to God no matter what circumstance, no matter what location, God selects and chooses us for His own. We're going to come back to that in a second. That's who we are. We're trekkers who have been chosen. We're in this long journey, but God has chosen us. Oh! I'll come back to that. Well, I can do it. I just revealed it. My sons bought me a watch for my birthday. And they replaced my $20 Timex and they bought me an Apple Watch. But when they said they were going to buy it for me, it hadn't come out yet, right? It was still yet being processed. And so at the time when they were finally in the stores, I got to select my watch. I went to the Apple store. They unlocked the thing. They had to pull out the drawer. The lady had to talk to me personally and select one at a time. You couldn't touch more than one at a time. So I selected this one. And don't worry, it's not really this one. It was the one before with the black band. I selected this one. And then I said, now what? And she said, well, you put in your order and you wait. So basically, I waited, 4 weeks or 5 weeks, whatever it was. And so I...